You're listening to All Things Cage at Waveform's WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust, and tonight we'll listen to the first of a three-part series of programs on Cage's use of chants in composition. Part one tonight focuses entirely on Cage's Music of Changes for solo piano from 1951, his first complete work that makes use of I Ching-derived chants operations. As dedicated listeners know, John Cage was a singularly inventive American composer whose principal contribution to the history of music was his systematic establishment of the principle of indeterminacy. By adapting Zen Buddhist practices to composition and performance, Cage succeeded in bringing both authentic spiritual ideas and a liberating attitude of play to the enterprise of Western art. He developed methods of selecting the components of his pieces by chance, early on through the tossing of coins and later through the use of random number generators on the computer to simulate the coin oracle of the I Ching. Thus, Cage's mature works did not originate in psychology, motive, drama, or literature, but rather were just sounds, free of judgments about whether they were musical or not, free of fixed relations, free of memory and taste. His most enduring composition is the radically tacit 433 from 1952, a work in three movements during which no sounds are intentionally produced. Music of Changes was completed in 1951. It is dedicated to David Tudor and is published by Edition Peters as EP 6256, 6257, 6258, and 6259 in four volumes. The title of Music of Changes is variously meaningful, the first, of course, being reference to the Chinese oracle book, the I Ching, or Book of Changes, of which Cage made extensive use in composing the piece. Another more personal reference is perhaps seen in the changes taking place in Cage's overall compositional language at the time. For this work, Cage employed I Ching-derived chance operations to create charts for the various parameters, for example, tempi, dynamics, sounds and silences, durations, and superimpositions. With these charts, he was able to create a composition with a very conventional manner of notations, with staves and bars, where everything is notated in full detail. The piano is played not only by using the piano keys, but also by plucking the strings with fingernails, slamming the keyboard lid, etc. Use of the pedal is also notated in full detail. The notation is proportional, where 1 inch equals a quarter note. The rhythmic structure is 3, 5, 6 3/4, 6 3/4, 5, 3 1/8, and is expressed in changing tempi, including the use of accelerandi and retards. This work may be seen as the first step of Cage's voyage into the world of chance composition. For Cage, this was a necessary first step in the giving up of individual taste and memory, as well as other previously meaningful traditions in the making of art. This development, in part, came as a result of his encounter and informal studies in Indian philosophy with the Indian musician Gita Sarabhai, as well as his attendance at the lectures of Daisetsu Taitaro Zuki on Zen Buddhism in the late 1940s into the early 1950s. However, chants here only applies to the process of composition. The actual result, or composition, that derived by these means, along with the performance, are fixed and determined, things which Cage would also later abandon in subsequent compositions. As Daniel Charles notes in his liner notes for this recording, in an essay entitled John Cage, Luring Music Away from the West, desiring to free himself from his own ego, Cage decided for his Concerto for Prepared Piano and Chamber Orchestra from 1950-51, from the third movement on, to entrust the I Ching with setting all of the parameters of each sound. By the way, the same process could apply to any future magnum opus as such, since subjective choice would always be marked with particular times and places, despite one's strivings for eternityism and solipsism. The I Ching could really help to guard against any subjective indiscretion in the course of random picks. The fundamental characteristic, then, binding the four movements of Music of Changes is a complexity obtained through contingent redistribution via the I Ching, of a dusting of parametrical elements, durations, frequencies, amplitudes, tempos, contrapuntal densities, as well as clusters, harmonics, direct attacks on strings, etc., according to the numerical proportions of a certain schema, uncomplicated at first glance, but quickly becoming maze-like once applied to the total, which was 29 times 29 and 5/8. Fine-tuning the score required no less than 80 pages of errata on the part of illustrious David Tudor, who was chosen to create it and to whom the work is dedicated, and David would also require the help of a mathematician to figure out the appropriate times given the tempo changes. Such lavish scoring allowed Cage to pursue his campaign of quasi-civil disobedience, a campaign which christened soon when cut to the quick by Schoenberg's remarks on how little feeling he had for harmony, he replied by disputing, to begin with, the primacy of musical sound over noise. Still, if Music of Changes is Eastern insofar as it unravels Western subjectivity, it is because it abolishes or seems to abolish time. And if it changes sound in and of itself, it is not necessarily because its author is setting out for some kind of transcendence, but because he is heading toward an existential semiotic experience, in Aristarchus's terms, an experience which entails the very sound in its entirety, thus emerging from and going beyond, one might add, any personal and or impersonal orient, by seemingly distancing himself from Schoenberg's fold. Did Cage not, in fact, aim for a more decisive, non-dual dimension than the mere split between the East and the West? Heady words from Cage's close colleague about Cage's equally heady composition. Now, let's listen to a beautiful recording of Music of Changes as performed by the remarkable pianist Martine Jost, released in 2005 on the Mode Records label CD number 147, the Piano Works 6, John Cage Edition, Volume 29, which also includes Cage's 7 Haiku from 1952 and Suite for Tour Piano from 1948. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
As we have a bit of time left, let's close deviating away from Music of Changes and to another work that Martine Joust includes on this Mode CD, Cage's Seven Haiku from 1952. It seems apt because as Daniel Charles brings his essay to a close, he says, "And now what is left after Music of Changes?" We are indebted here to Martine Joust, who headlined on her recording one of the most astonishing works by John Cage, the Seven Haiku from 1952, lasting less than 2 minutes total. This extraordinary supra-Weberian concentrate closes the oriental loop with Japan, whose islands, seen from afar or just from China, can indeed seem tiny. The economy of means, in every sense of the word, inherent in this score takes nothing away from the Music of Changes. It is but its true resonance. Indeed, we are looking at an addendum, which no sooner does it appear that it becomes silent. Time, in this case, is by its nature totally evanescent. By carefully yet deliberately adding these haiku, Martine Joust may well have spontaneously gifted us with the amphora thin that Marcel Duchamp spoke so mysteriously of, and that John Cage, too, dreamt of.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.